Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. My grandpa Johnston had a really hard time hearing as he got older, and his hearing aids didn't seem to really work, which meant that there was a problem with no real solution, and my grandma wasn't very patient about it either. Until they found out that there wasn't really a physical problem with his hearing. There wasn't anything physically wrong, but there was an enormous amount of wax built up all the way down into his ear, on both ears, that nobody had noticed. And once his ears were cleaned out, not only did his hearing aids work, but they realized he didn't really need his hearing aids after all, as much at least as everyone thought. My grandpa, and my grandma especially, was very happy about this. God didn't give my grandpa a miracle to get back his sense of hearing, because God had already given him a great sense of hearing. There is just something hindering my grandpa enjoying God's gift, a large amount of earwax. I recently read a story about a guy who went to the beach and was really looking forward to a long weekend on the white sandy shore. But for the first couple of days, all he could pay attention to were the miles and miles of disgusting seaweed that was stinking up the place after a big storm had just come through. But then by the third day, something happened. The seaweed, it was still there, getting smellier by the day, but this time the Lord turned his gaze to the dazzling blue Texas sky, a blonde toddler that was splashing in the waves, a dad and his son making this intricate sandcastle. The seaweed no longer spoiled his enjoyment because he was now focused on the beauty that had been surrounding him the entire time. Again, God had already given him something to be joyful about. He had just been too distracted to notice it. And there's a story in the Bible just like this in the book of Numbers. See, God had delivered the Israelites from the Egyptians. That's in the book of Exodus. And their destination, though, was the promised land, the land that God had promised. However, that land was already occupied, so the Israelites sent 12 spies, and there was one from every tribe, the 12 tribes of Israel, to see who the enemy was that they were about to attack. Now, two of these spies, Caleb and Joshua, they said, "The land that we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. It's a land flowing with milk and honey." And what's interesting is that everyone agreed on this. The other 10 spies agreed. It was a wonderful land, just like God had promised, except these other 10 spies saw something else as well. Said, "The people who live there are powerful. The cities are fortified and very large. We can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are." So the other 10 spies end up spreading this bad report about the land to the other Israelites. God had given them this wonderful land, but because of how many of them were focused on their fears, the Israelites ended up wandering around in the desert for 40 years instead of enjoying the promised land right away. So as I started focusing, learning, preparing for this message about joy, I realized God has already given us everything that we need to have joy. The joy is already here. He sent Jesus to be born for us. He lived and he died on the cross for us, for our salvation, for the forgiveness of our sins. He died so that we might have a full and abundant life. And yet, despite all of God's amazing gifts to us all the time, we still don't feel joy and peace in our lives a lot of the time. And so we often think we need to do something. We need to add something into our lives to bring about that peace and joy. If you're looking for Christmas gifts at Barnes & Noble or something like that, there are probably lots and lots of books telling you how to be happy in your life, how to bring joy to your life. It just is going to take one more self-help book to get you there. That's why you need to buy it for yourself or for a loved one. But what if we are just too distracted by this world and or too afraid by the obstacles around us to notice what we already have. In the gospel reading today, we see another story about how distractions can help us to lose sight of Jesus, even though he is right here in our midst. When Jesus came to the house of Mary and Martha, Mary sat at Jesus' feet and experienced the joy of his presence, while Martha was busy with her responsibilities, and she almost misses everything. When you think about it, Mary and Martha are given the exact same gift from God, the presence of Jesus. But Mary felt that joy while Martha almost missed her opportunity. In this last Tuesday's Jesus calling devotion that I went through, there is a really great quote there. It said, "Men tend to multiply duties in their observance of religion. This practice enables them to give more money, more time, and work without yielding the one thing that God desires the most, their hearts." We do so much, and we feel like we need to do more and more and more and more, so much so that we miss the joy that we have already been given. What if I told you that to find more joy in your life, you need to do a lot less trying to find it? An important spiritual discipline that's been celebrated for centuries is that of simplicity. At last summer's family camp up at Okoboji Lutheran Bible Camp that my family went to, our week's speaker talked about two kinds of simplicity. There's the inner simplicity and then the outer simplicity, the things that go on within us, then how it manifests itself outside of us. So inner simplicity is composed of three components, he said: humility, trust, and generosity. To receive what we have as a gift from God, that's humility. To know that it's God's business, not ours, to take care of what we have, that's trust. And then to have our goods available for others, that's generosity. Have you ever worked longer hours than you needed to in order to buy something you didn't even want to impress people you didn't really like? Have you ever done this? Do you ever worry about something that is literally completely out of your control, but you worried about how you were going to fix it? Do you ever hoard things? Don't want to get rid of things that you actually know for certain you don't need anymore and don't actually want? What if a joyful life is about giving more things away, letting go of more control, and buying less stuff? Which would be the opposite message of what we hear, especially around Christmas time. Because this inner simplicity often leads to a change in how we live our lives, that change in outer simplicity, such as buying things for their usefulness rather than for the status they give us, or learning to enjoy things without actually owning them. I was told a story by my dad a long time ago, but I couldn't find any stories about it on the internet. But what he talked about was how, and I'm not judging, but have you ever seen people that like have a butterfly book? Like they catch butterflies, then they put them in a book so they can look at them, all the different kinds and stuff. But that butterfly, now it's dead. Like, it's in your book. What if you like let it keep going, flying around so that somebody else could enjoy it? I mean, you just sort of have to wait. It's not immediately available in the wintertime, of course, but it's just this idea that sometimes the things we love, we want to hold on to them when maybe we need to just enjoy them while they're there and then let them go. Enjoying things without owning things, without possessing things. It leads to all kinds of other types of simplicity. Tithing, creating a budget, developing a habit of giving. All of these things It's a reflection of that inner simplicity of humility and of trust and of generosity. Because sometimes, and I bet some of you at least are like me, sometimes I think I would be happy if I could control more things, if more things happened the way I wanted them to. But it's often really peace that I'm looking for more than control, because I want to know the peace that says that after I've done everything I can do, that God is going to make everything work out in the end. Because I trust him more than myself, but I just want to make sure it's going to work out. And so I want that peace to know that it's gonna. As I was writing this message, an online devotional on my NIV Bible app came up, and it said this. It says, Jesus never forgot that his heavenly Father could do anything. People are the creation of God. Almighty Jesus knew his role was to make the gospel known to people, to explain forgiveness of sins, to sacrifice his life for sinners. But he knew their reaction was not his responsibility. And he refused to take responsibility that wasn't his. He left it in the hands of the Father. Do you ever take responsibility for other people's reactions? Do you ever feel guilty for things you literally cannot and should not control? We all do, of course, but perhaps that's why joy is so elusive in our lives. God has given us the joy that says he's in charge. He promised that everything is possible through him, that he cares about us and the people around us, and yet we worry about doing his job. We try to take responsibility from him that we can't and shouldn't have. Distractions steal our joy. Fear steals our joy. Just like the Israelites, we are often so afraid of the obstacles we see, we don't get to enjoy the joy that God has prepared for us. So how does this fear manifest itself in our lives? Well, did you know psychologically that sometimes the biggest bullies that you know are often the people with the lowest self-esteem? You've probably heard this along the way. They beat other people up physically, verbally, emotionally, because they are afraid deep down inside that the same thing is going to happen to them. So they get to it first. It just occurred to me, I read a book one time that talked about type A personality, and the idea is that you can either give someone an ulcer or get the ulcer. That's the idea. You can either be the one hurting other people or risk being the one hurt. That's how a lot of people are. Think of a little dog barking at a car. It's really a defense mechanism. Human beings do the same things in lots of different ways. We gossip about other people to put them down just to make ourselves look better. We complain about our situations in our life because we don't want others to blame us for the bad circumstances we're facing. We become angry at other people because we feel out of control. And what is the solution of this? Just stop it. That's easier said than done. God provides a different solution in things, places like Philippians 4. Whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. God tells us that when we are afraid, we can look around and see all the things he's already given us and trust in him. This isn't simply the power of positive thinking. It's the power of trusting God who has already filled the world and our life with joy. This peace and joy that you might be looking for at Christmas, it isn't going to come from more presents or more parties. It's going to come from recognizing what you have already been given, starting with the birth of his son, Jesus, who lived for you, who died for you, and who promises to be present with you forever. So as I was writing this, I thought of a song that my wife really, really likes, that we don't sing here at church yet, but I thought that it really worked well for this message, so I'm going to play it for you. It's called The House of the Lord, and hopefully we'll have the words up on the screen. We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He found the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, we shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause he hung upon that cross, then he rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, we shout out your praise. We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We are the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, we shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. Joy in the house of the Lord. Our Lord is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise.
Thanks, so I'm going to end it.
Yay. It's a great song. But I hope that you get the message across. There's already joy here in the house of the Lord and in your life. We just need to praise God for it and not be so distracted by everything else. Amen.